Robinson, a car length behind the Miller Lite Dodge of Kurt Busch. Cal Hamlin will dive to the bottom in turn number one, but Kurt Busch has got the momentum, running about a groove off the bottom of the racetrack. He'll hold off Denny Hamlin for the moment.
And welcome back to North Sound Racing. It's 8:45 here in downtown Everett, Washington. Beautiful night outside. Man, oh man, I can see why Tammy want to hang out on the deck. We need to move this show up to the roof some night. That'd be kind of fun.
Oh, rooftop. That'd be
nice. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It'd be cool. I want to remind you, coming up Saturday night, 5 p.m. live from the Kentucky Speedway, the Meijer 300, and I think it might be pronounced Mayer 300, presented by Oreo. And then Sunday morning, the LifeLock 400, 10:15 a.m. live, NASCAR Sprint Cup Series racing from Michigan International Speedway in Brooklyn, Michigan. So make sure and check that out. One thing that we'd like to do from time to time is kind of divert away from the oval track and the asphalt and dirt and get into something that's really kind of important. We've had, I believe, in the course of our show, we've had one other guest on about soapbox derby racing, which I think is just really, really a fun event. Joining us now is Ed Bednarczyk. I hope I said that right, Ed.
Yeah, right on the money.
Can you turn guest B up, or is that even on the board there?
It's up, yeah.
Right on the money. Perhaps.
It is? How about, is his microphone spinning the same way?
Let's look.
Is that arrow pointing?
It's correct.
Okay, why don't we move him into Galen's room and we'll
Oh, you know what? We're on cool B. So
Okay, guest B. Actually, we'll move Ed into Galen's studio there. I forgot to check that out while we were on. But coming up on the 21st is the Stanwood Camino Soapbox Derby, and there's a really cool website that I am going to make sure
I can give it to you.
Yeah, would you please?
It's www.stancam.com. SBD.org. That's STANCAMSBD.org.
Yeah, I know Brandon sent me a email, and there's one other guy I wanted to get on, but I just so totally ran out of time. But I'm going to, while we're having Ed, there, are you there, Ed?
Hey, I'm there. Hello. Oh,
listen,
how are you?
Listen to that voice.
Isn't that great?
If you haven't quite figured it out, Ed also is the announcer for this.
And in lane one.
Yeah. Anyways, Ed is the director and race announcer of the Soapbox Derby in Stanwood. And tell us what you got going on, Ed.
Well, I'll tell you, this June 21st, Saturday, the first day of summer, be in Stanwood and don't miss it. It's the first annual Windermere Stanwood Camino Island All-American Soapbox Derby. And it's going to take place right in town on 276. They're blocking off the whole road for the whole day for us. And it's great. It's hosted by Windermere Real Estate. They've got a bunch of offices up there on the island and in Stanwood. And it's just wonderful. Randy Heagle's the president of the event. And Randy came over. He and Marla, who own the Windermere agencies in town there, came over and said, hey, I want to do a soapbox derby. And this was back in January. And I'm going, oh, yeah. Well, you know, I had personal experience with soapbox. And so he said, you did? And I said, yeah, back in Culpeper, Virginia, which is where I lived for 10 years. My wife and I moved out here, and I said, yeah, I'll do it with you. So I was on board with him, and so he said, let's do it. And some, of course, there some people said, can't be done, too short a time. So we got to going on, you know, talking with the county and with the city, and got approval and started getting drivers. And we expected to have about 20-plus cars, mm-hmm. and I'm pleased to say Marla's tally yesterday, 40 cars.
Wow. And you told me something interesting earlier, how many soapbox derbies are held in the state of Washington.
Yeah, this is the third. Amazingly, as big as this state is, this is our third. Wow. Mount Vernon has one in Silverdale, which you're from, right, Carla?
Yeah, I grew up between Silverdale and Paulsbow.
There
so.
You go. Cool.
I can probably imagine what hill it is that they're using. How about you in Stanwood? You got the right hill?
We do. Actually, we have a... fast hill. Just under 30 miles per hour, that is. And
that's
yeah.
what you expect them to be doing when they're hitting their mark is about 30 miles an hour.
That's exactly right. But, you know, what we've done, all communities need this. And what Randy's vision was to bring something to the community so people didn't have to get in their car, drive down to Seattle for some fun. And you love to live and work and play in your own community. And so that's what this is about. It's about the kids. It's about the community. It's about bringing people to the community that haven't been there before. So it's wonderful. We've had great community support. and couldn't do it without our sponsors. Hagen's up there is one of our major sponsors, and I hope I can say all of that.
Yeah, please do.
Pat Rimmer Tires, North End Truck, Trucking Equipment out of Marysville, River of Life Church in town in Stanwood, Camino Island, and Whidbey Island Bank, and a bunch of others just have done a great job, you know, coming out there and supporting the event, and because it's a very expensive event to put on. And it being our first year, we had a, you know, a tough time, you know, right from the get-go, and but it's certainly a successful deal at 40 cars.
Go ahead, Steve. Have you got...
Yeah, I do. Brandon Hamilton is the one that got me all hooked up with you guys, and we've got a special guest on the phone, and this young man's name is Caleb Zedwick. Caleb, how old are you?
I am 10 years old.
And you are going to be blasting off on this soapbox derby coming up on the 21st, aren't you?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, will this be your first one?
Yeah.
Yeah? And make sure, because when you win this thing, our friend Ed here is going to be announcing your name, so you might, you know, talk to him. Give him some ideas of what it is that you're putting into this car.
A heavy foot, right?
Yeah.
Caleb, tell us about your car. What color is it, and do you have a number on it?
I don't have a number on it yet, but it's supposed to be number 8, and it's blue.
Wow, cool. Too bad it's not orange in 21.
Or pink in 27.
Yeah. Or no car, or no number like I have. So you're doing much better than us. What got you into this, Caleb?
Evan Holkinzed.
Uh-huh.
Holkinzed. From Cascade Lumber got a car. And him and Mike Boyle let me drive the car.
Cool.
Now, is that something you practice?
Huh?
Do you practice?
Yeah, I got a practice in tonight.
Oh, good. How did it go?
Good.
Good.
So, Ed, these guys, can they go out to the track, or is he practicing... Where Caleb shouldn't practice. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
location.
Actually,
keep it secret, Caleb.
Yeah, we've been having some driver clinics leading up to the race, and it's been really great. We had one runaway, but it was great, and she just kept flying down the next hill, and we thought, oh, boy, she's going to be crying on the way back up. And she came back up, had the biggest grin on her face. She was actually driving the Windermere car.
Cool.
Brakes did fail, but she was probably doing 40,
Very nice.
The one guy said down there. She came back with the biggest smile on her face, and she said, that was awesome. So,
runaway.
So all the guys are like, she's the hero.
So are all these cars, are they professionally built cars? Are they all built to a standard set of specifications, or are they all over the place?
Yeah, great question. Those cars are all on an even playing field. They're all purchased out of the All-American Soapbox Derby in Akron, Ohio, and they're a kit. And they get shipped to the driver, and they get assembled. And that's the great thing about the All-American Soapbox Derby is it's a mentorship program. So the driver assembles the car with a mentor, and it's all about it's a youth initiative program. Randy loves that word, youth initiative program. And it really is great. It's all about the spirit of competition, seeing a project all the way through to completion, and it's just wonderful for kids and adults as well.
What kind of investment does it take to get involved in something like this?
Well, the cars start at about $450, and then with the wheels and the shipping, it ends up to be about $700, $750. But what's great about it is businesses sponsor the cars, like Starbucks in town, for example. They put a car out there, and they did a drawing to see who was going to be the driver. And so kids were, you know, putting their little deals in there, and so they picked a driver, and that's how the kid's driving the car for Starbucks.
Have you seen several of these cars already? I mean,
we have. I mean, some of them are incredible. Some of them, the paint jobs, it's just like a, you know, a stock car out there that's just all duded up with the decals, and the, you know, the super stock cars can be painted. The stock cars have decals on them.
So you do have divisions. Is that based on age or type
it
of
is.
Car?
It is. 8 through 17 for all the drivers. So 8 through 10 in the stock, and then 10 through 17 for the super stock. Culpeper, Virginia is our sister city. We're pleased to announce second largest soapbox derby in the world. 130
wow.
cars.
Cool.
Give
us
a date again on your website.
Please. June 21st, this next Saturday, mm-hmm. Downtown Stanwood at 10 o'clock in the morning. We are also hopefully, weather permitting, I'm going to sneak this in, might have an A6 flyover from Whidbey Island Naval Air Station. So that's going to be cool. But scheduling and weather is going to permit that. So if it doesn't happen, please don't get mad at us.
Okay, we won't get mad at you.
And we've got a halftime show with Jerry Z, children's entertainer out of Atlanta. He's going to be there.
All right, Caleb, you going to win this thing?
Yeah, I'm hoping I will.
Good, good. I have the tiger, my young friend. I have the tiger. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
The only bad part about winning is that
listen
you
to this,
don't
Galen.
Get to keep the car.
What? They seize your car?
Galen's gone through that.
Yeah, pretty much. They take it and they put it up for show.
Yeah.
But if you don't win, the car's good for 7 years.
Oh, nice. Okay, good. You got flames on that thing, Caleb?
No, we haven't put decal on it
yet. All right. Well, you better put flames on it because it'll look cool when it travels the country. Hey, thanks a lot, Caleb, for joining us. Good luck on Saturday, okay?
Okay.
All right, buddy. Take care. Thanks a lot. Bye. We like him. Ed, thank you very much. Appreciate you coming in, man.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
You're
and Carla.
Welcome.
It's great. And www.stanwoodcamanoisland.stancamsbd.org is our website.
Very cool.
We'll put a link to it on our website.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful. And hope you guys can make it down there.
Thank you. We'll do our best.
All right.
We got to get out of here. We've got lots of stuff coming up. Pat Clark and Shane Saun right after the Sports Center at the top of the hour. And then much more to happen. Stick with us. We'll be back after these messages on North Sound Racing on North Sound 1380 ESPN. Radio.
My only motivation was to do this one day longer than Terry Buell. And now we're 2.5 years old.
All right, you guys ready to talk over the Rockies as San Francisco avoids the sweep on the road? Sports Center. Every 20 minutes, ESPN.
The mover right now, I think, is Casey Kane. He's got a very good race car. He's not abusing it right now, but he's got that higher lane worked out pretty well. He can set up about three or four grooves off the bottom here in turn one, get a good pull of momentum, and he is reeling in spots.
Welcoming you back to North Sound Racing, presented by Action Auto Parts, starring my number one guy, Steve Mortland.
Welcome back to North Sound Racing. Number one guy, Steve Mortland here.
You'll love that one, don't
I do.
You?
Well, Joe's very serious when he says that. Good to have you with us. Carla Heath and Galen Stewart, not the other way around, are hanging out with us tonight. Got a couple of special guests in here. Oh, let's see. How do I introduce these two? The first term that comes to my mind when these two are in the same room is grab your wallets because... these guys, they're pretty thick, and I like that. I admire the friendship that these two have. I first met Shane Saun. Oh, gosh, how long ago was it, Shane? Easily. Were you racing figure eights 10 years ago?
I'd say, yeah.
Probably, yeah. That's when Shane and I met. Shane had just one of the more cooler figure eight cars ever to run in the Super Figure Eight division out at Evergreen Speedway, and Shane won races. He did it his way, and I always admired his driving style. The other gentleman we have here is a gentleman I met a few years later because he also had a really kick-ass-looking figure eight car. He drove that beautiful blue and yellow flame number 74 Super Figure Eight out at Evergreen Speedway for years, and that gentleman's name is Pat Clark, and both of these two fine gentlemen join us here tonight for one reason, because I've always wanted to have both of them on for as long as we've been doing this show. Second of all, both of them have done some pretty cool things over the weekend, so we're going to get into that. Shane, first of all, what'd you do last Saturday?
Oh, we had a big victory down there at South Sound with
Did
the
you?
Rockstar Energy Drinks Chevrolet. It was a good battle, led from lap 1 to lap 75.
I heard from what I read on the internet, that was the show of shows, maybe one of the better races, if not the best one at South Sound this season.
Yeah, it was a good race. It made for a good race when my car kind of flopped in the first 10 laps. So they were double wide, three deep behind me for a long time.
Okay, wait. Please define flopped.
I had a right front spring collapse on me right away.
Wow. And did you know that's what it was?
Yeah, it was. I could feel it, you know, hammering down on the right front when I went into the corner, and I kind of radioed in that, you know, it's going to be a long night, and this is not the spot I wanted to be when that spring went out, but. You know, I guess it was the right spot because I managed to hold those guys off. I don't have much rear bumper or much of the rear of the car left, but, you know, we managed to hold them off.
I noticed, was looking, and I can get it back up on the internet here, but, man, there was a pretty stout field of race cars. A nice field, too. How many cars do you have to start off at?
We had 22 to 24 show up that day. We had about four or five mechanical issues. So we started the race with 18, and I believe we finished that race with 16. We had a pretty good race and not a whole lot of cautions.
Very cool. And there was also something fairly significant about this race for you as well. Is it the first time you've been in one of those cars in quite a while?
No, actually, it was kind of a misprint. I'm glad you touched up on that. Mm-hmm. They made it sound like this was my first victory in a limited late model class. And
well, that's why I had you on. I mean, if this isn't it, you know.
I actually won the championship.
We'll go to pass.
Don't go anywhere.
They kind of didn't do their history, I guess, the guy that wrote it up. And I'm actually the 05 champion in this class, and I had won six out of, you know, the last five out of six races that season. It just, the significance of this race more for me was that I hadn't won a race since the night I won the championship.
Oh, there you go. Okay, well, you're back on now. You're all right.
And let alone finished a race in about 2 years. It was like you had that bad luck monkey on your back from winning a championship. Nothing would go right for us. So.
Do you miss going right?
Yeah, I've been kind of posting lately, trying to find a ride for Nationals this year. I got a couple people interested in helping me out, get back out there and do a figure eight car again. I was talking to my dad earlier about that. I don't know how excited I am about knowing that somebody can hit me in the driver's door every lap of the race, but I kind of like turning left knowing that nobody's intentionally going after that spot.
Right.
You know, Shane, you and Pat and I kind of bonded on a trip down the Tri-Cities Raceway when the Fear Group used to run Super Figure Eight shows down there. You won one of those things too, if I remember correctly.
Yes, I won two out of three. I have to thank Pat because he always organized those things really well.
Yeah.
Pat, you know, fully got us down there, took all the responsibility of dealing with the promoters. And be honest with you, racing figure eights, those three races were probably my most memorable and fun because Steve, you know, he came down. We had a good time. He got to party with us afterwards and celebrate.
Oh, not Steve.
Oh,
we know.
Did we ever.
Yes, we did. We had a long night, especially with Pat. He likes to go until it's daylight before he likes to go to bed. So.
There's still a bunch of DNA in that parking lot. I'm just positive.
Oh, no.
But these two both know I'm right.
I'll remember that part.
Yeah. That's okay. You're forgiven. It's in the annals somewhere. But, again, congratulations, Shane, man. That was cool to see that you pulled that off.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you guys still checking in on me. I kind of went out of the radar when I headed down there to, you know, race down at South Sound. You don't get pretty much on the thread as much as you usually do up here up north.
Right.
That's exactly what I was going to ask, Shane. Is, you know, we saw you out there racing figure eights for a long time. What motivates you to get away from the figure eights and go down there and make left turns all the time?
I think that nickname, Mr. Attitude, started getting to me for a while at Evergreen. I knew that it was something I was growing out of, and I really wanted to get away from that and go somewhere where everybody just knew me as Shane Solomon. And, you know, people at South Sound, they travel from all different directions, so it's not like a group of people that you live in the close community with. And just needed a change, to change of pace and see if I could go grow up a little bit and mature as a race car driver and kind of lose the attitude. And, you know, it was just a big growing up process for me, and I'm glad I did it. I'm definitely ready to come back to Monroe and have some fun, though.
I was just going to ask, so racing the limited late models down there, where do we go from here? You're saying come back to Monroe, but are you wanting to do some other things as well, maybe? Travel around with that limited late series?
I thought about that, and they've got some rule issues that kind of makes my car illegal. I basically did this year because I wanted to recharge that title, I guess. I just wanted to go after that title one more time down there, and my future aspects, I guess, is to come back to Monroe next year and try to run a limited season and see how I can work. My plan this year is to run the last tour race of the year at Monroe with the tour guys and see how that all works out for me.
So what do you think, reading through your rules here before the show started, I see you can run either compression or crate engines, and just kind of wondering how that's going. Which one do you run, and what do you see being, which ones you get the most advantage?
I run a crate compression motor, the crate motors. they're really tough because they can go on the outside. They get to be 100 pounds lighter than us, and they get a little bit less tire wear. Being that we're on that one tire a week rule, it comes into play about 3 weeks down the road when they're not spinning the tires and so aggressive on the rear tires like our compression motors are. The compression motor definitely works going down the straightaways of that racetrack, but if you're not having a good night, that crate motor is going to drive around the outside of you all day long. That's the bad part.
Do they have a pretty well balanced there then between the two?
They do. I think it right now it's as far as fast time and wins goes, it's two compression motors to two crate motor wins. So it's dead even right now as far as how everybody's competing out.
Did you race as a kid?
I didn't. I sat there and watched my dad do years of demos and figure eights at Evergreen.
Mm-hmm.
After I got out of college, it was almost inevitable that I'd give it a shot. So.
Did you have your own soapbox derby car?
I did not. That looks like it would have been
fun. Wouldn't that
be fun?
We need to put an adult league together.
A league.
Yeah, that would be good. As long as there's some bumping and rubbing allowed, I think we can do that.
Yeah, what are they gonna do to stop us, huh?
How about any superstitions or something that you do every day, every race day?
Ooh, that's rough. Oh, God. There's a few, actually. I don't know if I want to name all of them, but I'm trying to think of the most simple one. You kind of caught me off guard on that one.
Sorry. Really, we had somebody answer Lucky Underwear.
Yes.
And, you know.
There's definitely certain shirts I put on throughout the day. I'll put it to that way. Like, I show up to the track with one shirt, and for some reason I have to change to another before qualifying, or I'm worried that, you know, it's just little superstitions like that.
Yeah.
I have about four shirts I change in throughout the day.
Well, that's kind
so
of
a wardrobe.
Freaky.
He brings a wardrobe.
Yeah, there you go.
I do. It's just little weird stuff like that, pretty much the biggest one is just don't talk to me for the race. I hate when people stand in my window net, and that's one of my biggest superstitions. I'm
really?
Always like, okay, guys, get away.
You like to focus.
I like to fall asleep, be honest with you.
Time to put on the big boy pants.
He's going
to go racing.
And he's falling asleep.
I usually try to take a nap because all the pressure goes away when you're sleeping. So when you wake up, it's time to go, and let's just do it. That's the way
I
look at it.
Wow. Not a bad question,
you can't go to
Carla.
Sleep when you drink this, and this is absolutely lovely.
Are you in love with that coffee, Rockstar?
I'm not going to let go of this can. Because it is so good. Thanks, Shane, for bringing this.
Wow.
No problem.
We got hooked up.
On behalf of Rockstar Energy Drink, they appreciate you guys having us on air today.
Cool. Thanks a lot. All right. If you don't mind, we're going to switch sides of the glass here, and we're going to introduce my friend Pat Clark, who, like Shane, spent a lot of time up at Evergreen Speedway over the years in the Super Figure 8 division, ran that operation, I think, for 2 years, or a year and a half, whatever it was. And the reason I wanted to have Pat on is because Pat spent some quality time on Saturday as well. And he did a really cool thing, and that was man a donation booth down at Pacific Raceways as part of the Northwest Tour and Northwest Legends show on the road course down there on behalf of our friend James O'Neill. So, Pat, good to have you with us, pal.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Tell us what you all did on Saturday. You made some new friends, too, huh?
I did. The biggest one that I made was Buddha. Most of you guys know him from the 33 car.
Striking similarities between Pat and Buddha, too, by the way.
Same hairstyle.
Yeah.
He's a little taller.
Just a tad.
He kind of threw it together, a raffle and a fundraiser last minute, and I felt that I needed to get involved in it. I never met James O'Neill, still haven't, but read what was going on with him and what everybody was saying about him and what kind of a person he was, and it just felt like the right thing to do, to raise some money and make his life a little bit better.
And tell us what y'all came up with. First of all, what type of prizes were given to be raffled off, and then also how much money you raised on Saturday?
Well, the grand prize was a 50-50 raffle, and we sold 110 tickets. I'm sorry, 1,010 tickets.
Jeez.
110. Yeah, you took your 10 bucks, Steve.
Yeah, thank you.
1,010 tickets, which was really good because the weather was horrible. The stands were really bare. The racers themselves, both in the Legends and the ASA class, really stepped up and made this a success. And with the raffles and donations, we raised about $885. Tracy Brandenburg also really stepped up for us, and she donated a suite. For the race, for the tour race down there, and she also donated two sets of tickets for the NHRA drags.
That's huge.
That was a really big deal. We also got some shirts from, sorry, Shane, from the NOS Energy Drink guys. And
we're going to talk about that after this.
It was a pretty good drink, too. And the Legend guys, they donated a sweatshirt for us to give away also.
Oh, cool.
So it was a big success.
Cool. We have a caller on the phone. Sir, please state your name for the record.
Buddha.
What's going on, buddy? How you doing, buddy?
I was doing good until Carla said that I had the same hairdo as Pat. I wanted to let you know that I have hair.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry you do.
But I make this look good.
Yes, he does. He pulls it off quite nicely. What do you think of the job that Pat and all those people that helped out down there at Pacific Raceways?
Pat and his wife Mandy worked their tail off. All of our volunteers came down. James and Tara Conley, they worked their tails off. Everybody just did a great job. It was a lot of fun. It was nice to meet some new people in the racing community that I didn't know before. And, you know, we had a good time. And hopefully we're going to do another one of these here real soon. That's the plan. We're still talking to some people about it, but we're going to do another one here, I think. So hopefully with the weather better and bringing a lot more money.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure you will have no problem being able to set up stands around racetracks and events all over because what you guys are doing. First of all, Buddha, while we got you on, tell us how James is doing. Is he getting ready to go?
Last I'd heard, I've been kind of out of contact with a few of them people here the last couple of days, but my dad called me. I was up north and told me there's going to be an update on Como Florida News, Como Florida News tonight on James, so at 11. So tune into that, or you can check it on the website there, like he has all the other stuff. And so, yeah, hopefully I'm looking forward to hearing it, too, because I think the one lady that's kind of running everything has been in and out of town. So.
Oh, cool. Well, again, yeah. You guys are just doing awesome work, and you know, I can kind of disappoint. I might suspend Carla for that statement.
I would.
Would you? Okay.
So sorry.
15 minutes worth, you know.
Oh, sure. Yeah. We can do that.
I'm going to the penalty box.
Yeah. For a 5-minute major. Go ahead, Pat.
But is there an amount of money that we could raise for James that would create you to have the same kind of haircut that I've got?
You know, I don't know. I got a lot of weird bumps and shapes on my head. I fell on my head a lot when I was a kid. That might explain a lot of what Buddha is. So.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, you know, we got up, you know, a couple thousand there. I think about it. I keep it pretty short as it is. But,
cool. Congratulations on the DS Racing third place finish on Saturday too, Buddha.
Yeah, we were real happy with that. Travis had never even been on a road course before.
Was he pretty winded when he got out?
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, they ended up shortening a little bit, you know, just because of the darkness. And
right.
The front stretch is okay, you know, but I was down on the spot in the back stretch, and it was dark back there
was
with
it?
All them trees. So, man, Gary Lewis drove a heck of a race. Jason Fraser was awesome, and Travis did a great job. I was real happy with the way he progressed throughout the day. And the first time he went on the track to the last lap there, it was night and day. So.
Cool. Well, it was probably fun just to race, huh?
Yeah, no doubt. You know, been rained out and snowed out and got a few in here, and Travis has been busy, so... So we're going to go to Meridian, Idaho here, 4th of July weekend, and go have some fun over there. We had a good run over there
cool.
The first time we were
up there. Awesome. Well, thanks for calling in, man.
All right, guys. You guys have a good night.
All right. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it, Buddha. Okay, well, I'm glad he called so we can clear that mystery up right away. So it's just what you guys did. And like Buddha mentioned, Pat, you and your wife, Mandy, and you guys have just been so involved in this auto racing sport around the Pacific Northwest. It was really cool to see you guys get back out to it. And on behalf of all of us, I really appreciate what you guys are doing.
We just felt it was necessary. Racing aside, James is just a fantastic guy, and he deserves it.
He does.
I want to shift gears a little bit, Pat. Why did you run up in the stands about 15 years ago from the racetrack? You got out of your car, you ran straight up in the stands. What was that all about? Tell us the story.
I needed to chat with somebody.
The guy wrecks his car. I don't even remember what happened on the track. All I remember is some guy with his helmet. I think it was in your hand. I don't even remember. He gets out of his car and runs straight up to the track steward. Who was the track steward at that time?
I think it was Mick Tomlin.
Oh, geez.
That had to cause some commotion.
All right. Before we take a break here, Shane, I need you to give me your best Pat Clark story. And then, Pat, I need you to give me your best Shane Solomon story. Let's see. Pat, we'll start with you.
Of course you will.
I'd start somewhere, bud.
God, my best Shane Solomon story.
Yeah. This is really putting you on the spot, I know.
Are we on regular radio?
Yes, we are. We are we are live too, by the way.
Boy, Steve, way to put me right on the spot.
Okay, Shane.
Shane, yeah,
Shane,
right, like
Shane. Let me think about this, Shane.
Okay, you got one. Go ahead.
I think it was the beginning of the 04 season, 05 season. It's our very first hot lap session. I know he knows where I'm getting with this. And we just done our cars. I think I even had him paint his chassis. I think it might have been that year even. But we went out, and for some reason, I decided I wanted to drive up his quarter panel and, you know, pretty much flattened the poor guy's tire, ripped the quarter panel off the car. And all I remember is stopping right there in the middle of the track, jumping out and trying to repair it right there in the middle of that hot lap session because I felt so bad. And he's just looking at me like, what were you doing? Didn't touch my car, of course, but just, you know, wasted the quarter panel trunk lid. I mean, we were in there for quite a while stomping that thing out. I remember that.
Okay, Pat.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, good.
He did help fix it too. And that's kind of the way Shane and I have always been. You know, right from the get go, I kind of, you know, I liked Mr. Attitude. It was kind of fun.
I think you're the only one.
You know what comes to mind after thinking about it here, my brain? My car did not get done in time over the winter, and Shane had two. And I borrowed his car. And it was one that he just kind of threw together, and he was nice enough to let me drive, and I went out there, and I whooped him. And
beat me with my backup car.
Oh, no way.
And that whole race is just pounding on me, pounding on me, pounding on me. And the hardest hit he gave me was in winner's circle.
Wow.
I took the checkered flag, pulled up to the flag stand, and he railed me.
More commotion.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who was more excited about that win, him or me.
It was nice when both cars went into the winner's circle that night, let me tell you, especially when they were painted the same.
Yeah, that was some awesome-looking cars. Well, gentlemen, thank you both for coming in. Shane, congratulations on your win. And Pat, congratulations on what you did over the weekend, and which we'll probably continue to do because whether you know James or not, it's still a cool deal because he's a part of our community here. So congratulations to both of you.
Thank you.
Really cool. We are going to take a break. And when we come back, let's talk to we want to talk with Gary Lewis after this. Okay, we'll do that right here. And he is the winner of the ASA Aero Exhaust Blue Water Echo Outdoor Power Equipment Tour Race at Pacific Raceways. We'll be back after these messages. Stick with us. North Sound Racing here on North Sound 1380 ESPN Radio.